Well, praise the Lord, family. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Shirley, your hostess for tonight. Welcome, family. Welcome to Destined to Win. Destined to Win. You are destined to win. That is your spiritual inheritance, your birthright as a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. Give them glory, somebody. We are grateful and thankful on tonight for our face in the building, on this line, on this call, on the internet. We are grateful unto the Lord, for this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. We are also grateful and thankful unto you, my brother and my sister, for being a part of this broadcast on tonight. For there is a word from the Lord. There is no circumstance or happenstance or coincidence that you have joined us tonight. I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, you were summoned to tune in, because only God knows what we need, how we need it, and when we need it. So I'm just grateful and humbled, truly humbled, to be a vessel that he is using at this time to bring forth his word. And I believe it is a mighty word, because it was good as he began to revelate it to me in my spirit. Hallelujah. So we give him glory. We lift up the name that's above every name. That's why we've come to this broadcast tonight, to lift up the name of Jesus, because there's no one like him. There never has been one like him, and there never will be one like him, because he is the God-man, God in the flesh. Hallelujah. God in the flesh. God created him, sent him to earth, hallelujah, so that we as physical human beings could relate to God in the physical as well, hallelujah, that we can be able to recognize him when he shows up, hear him, and know his voice when he speaks, hallelujah. This is the human experience, that God, being God, hallelujah, became a man. He became a man for our benefit. Hallelujah. He sent his son, the man Jesus, his son, God in the flesh. The word of God was made flesh, according to John chapter 1. And we beheld, or those in that day beheld, the glory of the Father. And we still behold his glory today, because when his word transforms and renews and restores, we are witnessing the glory of the Lord. So again, thank you, family, for being on the broadcast tonight. I won't be before you long. I will not keep you long. I know it's kind of late in the hour tonight, and but I want to bring this word at the unctioning of the Holy Spirit to feed your spirit man, hallelujah, not to entertain you, but to move you down in your spirit, that your spirit man would be empowered, uplifted, and comforted. We know that these are dark and evil days that we're living in, but we thank God for the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, hallelujah. He is the light that shines in the hearts of men. So we're asking the Father on tonight to shine his light in our hearts, to illuminate our minds of understanding, to let us see clearly with our spiritual eyes and hear with our spiritual ears what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church in this hour. I'm not a prophetess. Don't proclaim to be one. I just want to stick to the word, and however the Holy Spirit moves, he has free course and free reign. Amen. Amen. So my text tonight is coming from a very familiar passage of scripture, but I just want to ask a question. Have you ever felt like the weight of the world was on your shoulders? Have you ever felt like everywhere you turn, somebody's in need, and the weight of people's needs begin to bog you down and begin to slow you down and begin to have you in a bowed down or overstate, like it's just too much for you to bear? where there's a particular story in the Bible in which a woman was afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. Hallelujah. She had a physical manifestation of what was taking place on the inside of her that manifested on the outside. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 13, starting at verse 10, we will read her story and her place engraved in time eternally as Jesus interacts with her. And we're going to glean from this word, and God's going to reveal some truths to us from this passage of Scripture. Hallelujah. How many of you know that anything that you are seeking God for and need God to do in your life, hallelujah, you've got to get into his presence. Hallelujah. You've got to place where you can meet him. Hallelujah. You've got to get in a state of mind or spiritually get in that place where you can commune with him. Hallelujah. Where it becomes nobody but you and him. Hallelujah. You have a dialogue with him, and he talks to you, and you talk with him. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful place to be. You worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Well, this woman in this story made her way to such a place. She made her way into the presence of the Lord. And I don't know if she was expecting what took place to take place, but she showed up at the right place at the right time. How many of you know that you've got to be in the right place at the right time if you want to receive from the Lord? Hallelujah. You can't be out of place. You've got to be in place. Even though God does not need time like we need time, but he uses time. He has given time unto us. Hallelujah. As spiritual beings in an earth suit, we move through time in this physical body. So he has given time to man. And so we have to make sure that our timing and God's timing line up with one another, that our timing lines up with God. And that, my brother and my sister, becomes your due season. Hallelujah. So let's pick up in Luke 13, chapter 13, I said, and we're going to start at verse 10. And I'm reading from the Living Translation Bible. I love this Bible. I'll also read a little bit from the Message Bible. If you're following me in the King James Bible, that is fine, that is okay. But for the sake of our dialogue, I want to make things plain and things clear. So that's why I choose to read from the Living Bible. When I'm doing a study and really get into studying, then I use the King James, because I like to look up the lexicons and all of that stuff in the concordance and get a deeper meaning and understanding. Okay, so we're going to start at Luke 13, verse 10, and it reads, and I'm in the Living Bible, it says, "One Sabbath, as he was teaching," meaning Jesus, "in a synagogue, he saw a seriously handicapped woman who had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to straighten herself. Verse 12, calling her over to him, Jesus said, 'Woman, you are healed of your sickness.' He touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised and thanked God. 14, but the local Jewish leader in charge of the synagogue was very angry about it, because Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. 'There are 6 days of the week to work,' he shouted to the crowd. 'Those are the days to come for healing, not on the Sabbath.'" And bringing it up to speed, it would be not on the Lord's day, which is Sunday. You can come to the church house on Wednesday night Bible studies when we do our healing and deliverance service, because on Sunday mornings we're in worship, and we ain't going through all of that on Sunday. We're going to worship on Sunday, okay? Just bringing it up to speed. Verse 15, "But the Lord replied, 'You hypocrite, You work on the Sabbath. Don't you untie your cattle from their stalls on the Sabbath and lead them out for water? And is it wrong for me, just because it is the Sabbath day, to free this Jewish, or one version says, I think the King James says, Abraham's daughter, keep that in mind, to free this Jewish woman from the bondage in which Satan has held her for 18 years. So Satan, Jesus is saying and making it clear, is the one who has this woman in bondage. Thank you, Lord, because some people really believe that God puts sickness on people, but I'm here to say that the devil is a lie. Sickness and disease is not from God. It's not of God. It comes from the evil one. Verse 17, when he said this, this shamed his enemies, and truth always will shame your enemies. And all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. Now, I want to read it from the Message Bible, because I want us to get a clear understanding of the mindset of the people, Jesus' attitude, even the woman who received her healing, okay? The Message says, and I'm starting at verse 11, there was a woman present so twisted and bent over with arthritis that she couldn't even look up. She had been afflicted with this for 18 years. Verse 12, when Jesus saw her, he called her over, woman, you're free. He didn't ask her, are you a member of this church? He didn't ask her, do you pay your tithes and offerings? He didn't ask her, have you been baptized? He didn't ask her any of that. He didn't ask her for her pedigree. He didn't ask her who was your mama and your daddy. He didn't ask her none of that. In fact, he didn't ask her anything. He just said, woman, you're free. Verse 13, he laid hands on her, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. Hallelujah. So here's the scene. Jesus is preaching, teaching in a synagogue on a Sabbath. Hallelujah. And he notices a woman with an issue. Now, what stood out about the woman was that she was bent over in a horrific way. It just bent over, bowed over. Her physical condition was abnormal. For Jesus to see that, he knew that this is abnormal. This is not of God. This is not of God. And he obviously was moved with compassion. And so he calls the woman over to him, and he speaks to her. He did not ask her questions. He simply said, woman, you're free. And then he laid his hands on her, transfer of power, and suddenly she was standing straight and tall. So this lets us know that there was something going on, because the King James says that she had a spirit of infirmity. She had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and we know what a spirit is. We have good spirits and we have bad spirits. This was a spirit, as Jesus has clearly said, that Satan put on her. Hallelujah. He caused some kind of sickness in her body. He caused some kind of disease in her body. He made her weak. He made her feeble. This is what he did. And this is how you know when there is something on you that's not of God. You become weak. You become out of sorts. This is not of God. You can feel it. You know it. You sense it. Something is not right. I need to get in touch with my Father. I need to see Jesus. And that's what she did. She went and got in the presence. He called her into his presence. How many of you know that where good is, evil cannot dwell? We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about the power of God at work here. Hallelujah. Whatever's on you when you're in Jesus' presence, it's got to come off. It cannot dwell. It cannot stay. It cannot linger, and it cannot continue to be attached to you. That's why the presence of the Lord is what we seek after. It's what we hunger and thirst for. We've got to worship. We were created to worship him. We were created to worship at his feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord revealed to me that this woman had a condition, an issue, which was the result of the physical manifestation, was the result of something that was going on inside of her. It was an outward expression or manifestation of an inward condition. She had a spirit on her, a spirit of infirmity. In the Greek, that word infirmity means feebleness in your body or in your mind. It means malady. It means frailty. It means disease, sickness, and weakness. But thanks be unto God. I don't know whether she heard that Jesus would be preaching at church that day. I don't know, but she pressed her way, and she made it into the right place at the right time. She showed up at the right place at the right time. And she got her healing. She received her healing. She received her deliverance. Hallelujah. No questions asked. And I love what Jesus says to the leader of the synagogue. Okay, let me back up to the pastor or the leader at church. You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You put traditions of men and doctrines of devils over God's law, his commandments, his will. His will is that you show mercy and have compassion on God's people. You should have stopped your agenda, stop your tradition, stop all of that program going on, stop it dead in its tracks. The moment this woman in this condition walked in your midst, your eyes should have been fixed on her just like Jesus' eyes were fixed on her. He knew that this woman had to be in pain. Think about it. She's bent over, bowed down. She can only see down. She probably had a down a countenance. She could only look down. She didn't have the ability to look up. Because you know when we look up, the word declares we will look to the hills from whence cometh our help, because our help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. You can't even get your praise on. You can't even shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph if you're down, if you're looking down, if your countenance is down. Hallelujah. So God wanted to release her from whatever that infirmity was. I don't know what's got you bowed down. I don't know what's got you looking down, but I'm telling you, Jesus is here. Jesus is here to help and with our infirmities and to remove those things that will steal our praise and steal our joy and have us abnormal, feeling abnormal. Hallelujah. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. I'm not saying we're supposed to walk around all day, every day, laughing and acting, you know, looking silly. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there ought to be a joy down on the inside of us every day. Hallelujah. Because we belong to the Lord. We know who the Lord is. We know who is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He heals all of our sicknesses and diseases. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's by his stripes that we are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Help me, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. See, she couldn't straighten her own self up. That's what the word says, is she couldn't straighten her own self up. I mean, some of us really think we can fix ourselves, but we can't fix ourselves. We don't have the power to fix ourselves. We have to draw on the wellspring of life. We have to draw from and drink from that well, which is the word of God, which is Jesus Christ, the power of God. Hallelujah. We can't fix ourselves. God has to fix us up and clean us up. He's the potter. We're the clay. Hallelujah. And something, so something had her bowed down. She couldn't straighten herself up. Something, in other words, was disabling her or preventing her from walking upright. Hallelujah. Catch that in the spirit. Something was preventing her from walking upright. In other words, something was preventing her from doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She was bound. She was in bondage. And this sickness that Satan had put on her is what had her bound. She couldn't straighten up. She couldn't walk upright. She couldn't stand up straight. She didn't have the power or the capability to straighten her own self up. Hallelujah. But thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. I'm reminded. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, he brought to me the woman, the Syrophoenician woman. You know the story in Mark chapter 7. Two women, one was a daughter of Abraham. Jesus distinctly called the woman in Luke 13, identified her as a daughter of Abraham. Let me stop right here. Daughter of Abraham. And he rebuked the leader of the synagogue because he was saying, how dare you, you hypocrite, deny Abraham's daughter her birthright, her spiritual inheritance, which is healing and deliverance and salvation. Salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So you're a hypocrite. You look religious. You look godly, but you're denying the power thereof. How dare you deny this daughter of Abraham her spiritual birthright? Not only spiritual, but she was a Jew. She had a natural entitlement to the things of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you, my sister, my brother, as a child of God, a seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, this is your inheritance as well. This is your spiritual inheritance as well. You should expect to be delivered. You should expect to be healed. You should expect to be set free because the blood of Jesus has covered everything, hallelujah, that pertains to life and godliness. Hallelujah. It's the blood of Jesus that has set us free. We don't have to be in bondage. We don't have to be bound. We don't have to be sick or diseased in our body, and God does not put sickness on us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I need somebody to claim their inheritance. Claim what Jesus has done for you. Claim what Jesus has given to you by his precious blood. Hallelujah. So God had me to look at the woman in Mark chapter 7, the Syrophoenician woman who heard that Jesus was in their region or in their hood, hallelujah, in the land of the Gentiles, in the land of the heathen, in the land of the despised people. Jews despised the Gentiles, but Jesus, he secretly came into the region or into their neighborhood, so to speak, and he's there, and his fame has gone abroad. And this woman, who had an issue of her own, ran and found Jesus and immediately showed up in his presence. But when she showed up, she bowed down and began to worship him. She began to plead her case to him. How many of you know that if Jesus can't fix it, it ain't no fixing to it in the name of Jesus, but he can do all things. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine according to the power that works within us. And what is that power working within us? It is our faith to believe. Our faith to believe. Oh, God, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So she knows and believes in this man, Jesus. She believes that he can help her. She believes that he can fix whatever is wrong. She shows up,
immediately the word says she shows up where he is. He's trying to hide out, but she found out that he was there in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And she shows up and she begins to petition him and beg him and tell him about her daughter. She's vexed with a demon. She has a demon. And so Jesus has to tell her, wait a minute, hold up, sweetheart, in the name of Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. And if you go there to Mark chapter 7, I'm going to tell you exactly where I am. Mark chapter 7, around verse, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm at verse 25, Mark 7, 25. It reads, I'm going to read it quickly. Right away, a woman came to him whose little girl was possessed by a demon. She had heard about Jesus, and now she came and fell at his feet and pled with him to release her child from the demon's control. But she was Syrophoenician, a despised Gentile. I'm reading in the Living Bible. Verse 27, Jesus told her, first I should help my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And I guess that's where we get that verse of scripture that says, Jesus says, cast not your pearls before swine. You know, they considered Gentiles to be dogs and swine, lower than dogs and swine. They despise the Gentiles. But Jesus is having a conversation again with this woman. He's having a conversation with this woman who is a Gentile. Hallelujah. But she did not let up. She came with expectation in her heart. She came having faith that he was Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that was promised to come. No, she wasn't in the synagogue. Hallelujah. Somebody need to hear me. She wasn't in the synagogue. She was outside of the synagogue. She could not go into the synagogue because they did not allow them in the synagogue. But this woman heard about Jesus and her faith kicked in. It kicked in, and then the love that she has for her daughter, she went through what she had to go through to get to Jesus. She was a woman. She could not touch a rabbi. Back in those days, you could not touch a holy man being a woman. She could have been stoned, but she knew that her daughter was in desperate need. She knew that her child was vexed with a demon. She had to plead to the master, come and I need help. I need you to heal my child. And Jesus replies to her, that's true. Now, Jesus told her, and he told her, but I can't come and help you, or that I was sent to my own first, and I can't give what belongs to them to the dogs. Okay, did he call her a dog? I don't think he called her a dog. He was just giving her a translation. But she caught it, and she said, yeah, that may be true. I know who I am in a sense. I may be a dog. I may be, but even still, the puppies under the table are given some scraps from the children's plates. You know how your kids sit at the table if you got a pet and they giving their pet more food than they are eating themselves. That's what she's talking about. The crumbs from the table fall on the floor and the dogs and the puppies eat the crumbs. Well, just give me a crumb. I'm just only asking you to heal my daughter, that she's vexed with a demon, that she's possessed with a demon. I need my daughter to be free. I need her to be healed. I need her to be normal again. Oh, come on, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. And Jesus is just moved by her answer, and he says, good. And he said, you have answered well, so well that I have healed your little girl. Go on home, for the demon has left her. Ha! That's the kind of God that we serve. And this woman in Mark 7, the Syrophoenician woman, is not a daughter of Abraham, but she had faith. She had faith to believe in Jesus, and Jesus answered her petition. He answered her request because she didn't let up. She didn't let up, just like the scripture says. The judge is going to give you what you want just because you are persistent. See, we ask one time and something comes and we fall back and we don't keep coming, but you've got to keep coming to God. You've got to keep putting that thing before him. You've got to keep decreeing and declaring the word over your situation, and God will move on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah says in chapter 40 and verse 4. He declares that every valley shall be exalted. That means no matter how low you are, God's going to lift you up. He has the power to raise you up. And every mountain and every hill shall be made low. He's saying that if you're too high, if you're too prideful, if you're too arrogant, he's going to have to bring you down just a little bit. He's going to have to bring you down. Hallelujah. Get you on. Get you in the right place. You don't want to think too highly of yourself than you ought to. And then if you're down there depressed and oppressed, he's going to lift you up. He's going to bring you out. He's going to see you through. And then the scripture goes on to say, and the crooked shall be straight. And the crooked shall be made straight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, I'm reminded of the woman in Luke chapter 13, bent and bowed over. Her spine was crooked. Do you know that if you have a crooked spine and your spine is bent over, you know that's abnormal? Well, let me tell you what the spinal cord runs through the vertebrae that's in your back. And the spinal cord is made up of your nerves and it's like your the hub of your information center. And if that connection is cut off, you can't receive messages. If you're bowed over and bent down and looking down, you can't receive what God's trying to give to you. You can't hear from heaven. You can't receive. You've got to straighten yourself up. You've got to ask God to remove that thing that's got you bowed down, that's got you bent over, that's keeping you from hearing his voice and his messages and his word. And God will do it. He desires to do it. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, but he knows the plans that he already has for you. Plans to bless you and not harm you and to bring you to an expected end. God wants the best for you. He's cheering for you. He's cheering you on. He wants the best for you. He has the best for you. But you've got to want better for yourself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. God, we thank you. We thank you for this word that you're about to straighten us up. You're about to straighten our lives out, and you're about to straighten us up, Father, so that we can walk upright. And I'm reminded of Paul in Philippians 1 and verse 6 when he says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know what has hitched itself to you. I don't know what's oppressing you if you are oppressed. I don't know what's attached to you that shouldn't be attached to you, but you've got to get into the presence of the Lord and desire his presence more than anything, and watch those things come unglued. Watch those things fall away. Watch those things separate. Watch those things become detached from you. Hallelujah. Because you desire the presence of the Lord, and where good is, evil cannot dwell. For the Bible declares that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand pleasures forevermore. I don't know about you, but that's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. I want to be in his presence. Hallelujah. I desire his presence. I need his presence. There's nobody like Jesus. Nobody can do you like the Lord. Hallelujah. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we don't have the power to straighten ourselves out. It's part of the call as we come. It's a process, and God begins to remove things from our lives that don't fit with his plan and with his program. It's not about our plan, program, or agenda. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So family, I bless you on tonight. We praise and thank God for his word, and I pray that this word has blessed you. There is nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. Have faith, because without faith it's impossible to please God. And we want to be pleasing unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And just have courage and know that it is God who works in you to do his good pleasure. Now his will shall be done. It shall be done. Yes, we can make a decision and turn, but once we have tasted the goodness of the Lord, you can't send us back. You can't pay us to go back. You can't. There's nothing back there. Hallelujah. We're moving on, pressing our way upward and onward in the name of Jesus. And I'm glad about it. I'm glad about it that God has me lock, stock, and barrel. I'm glad that he has sealed me with his precious Holy Spirit. He's made a down payment on me. He's put a deposit on me, and he's coming back to collect what he has purchased. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I give him glory. Come on, somebody, and give him glory with me. We can praise our God. He's just good like that. He alone deserves our hallelujah. It all belongs to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And this news of this storm that's threatening to hit the coast of Florida, in the name of Jesus, I believe the name of it is Irma. Hallelujah. But we can come together as the people of God and push back the storm and decree and declare that it not put foot on land in the name of Jesus. That if the winds are going to blow, they're going to blow like a mighty rushing wind, and God will fill the earth with his glory and with his presence. Hallelujah. And if it's going to be rain, hallelujah, it's going to be an abundance of God's anointing that he's pouring down upon his people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if the storm should happen to hit the land, that it will be the time for God's people to activate the God that's down on the inside of them and stir up the gift of God that's in them and go and help your sister and help your brother. Hallelujah. Be concerned about those. Hallelujah. This is the time that the church can stand strong and mighty. This is the time that the church can be unified. Hallelujah, that we can show the world that God is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. Amen. Give him glory, somebody. Hallelujah. Praise and bless his holy name. We thank God for being God all by himself. We thank God for Jesus. We thank God for the precious Holy Spirit, and we thank the Lord for his word. God's about to straighten up your life. Everything crooked is going to be made straight. There's no failure in God. What God has purposed, who can reverse it? So you take courage. You be encouraged. These light afflictions are but for a moment and not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I'm telling you, glory, the glory of God is about to hit your life. Receive it, believe it, expect it, because it's on the way. Hallelujah. Give them glory. God, we thank you. We praise you. We bless your holy name. Thank you for your word on tonight, Father. Thank you for the presence of your precious Holy Spirit, your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for being God and God alone all by yourself. Father, there's nobody like you, never has been, never will be. Father, we're grateful on tonight. We're thankful that we have been counted among the number of your people, God, the sheep of your pasture. You are our God, our King, our Lord, our Master, our everything. When we have you, Jesus, we have everything. So we just praise you, glorify you, love on you, adore you, magnify you, Lord. We're grateful. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, Lord. Watch over your children. Protect your people, God. All who call on the name of the Lord, the word declares, shall be saved. If you've never made Jesus your choice, you can do it. Just call on the name of the Lord. Believe in your heart, confess it out of your mouth. God, I believe. I believe. And God will save you. And he'll send his Holy Spirit to live with you and dwell with you. In Jesus' mighty name. So God bless your family. We thank you for tuning in tonight. Tune in again. I don't know when. As the Lord leads, hallelujah, we pray that you have gotten some out of this word tonight, that it has been a blessing to you. We love you, and we love the Lord.
my husband and I, my husband, Pastor Ricky Taylor, I want to mention him, honor him, hallelujah. He is my man of God. He is God's son, hallelujah. I love him dearly, and I just wanted to lift his name up. He's traveling on the road at this time. I bless the Lord for him, and I bless the Lord for you. So thank you, family. Until next time, God bless you, and may heaven continue to smile upon you. This is Evangelist Shirley. Peace. Take care.